The last thing we discussed was Esther pointing her finger at Ahasuerus when she said, Ish tsar v'oyev. So one of the things I found here in the Yalkut Biurim is that Esther lo chashasha, she wasn't afraid of Ahasuerus because she saw that the nest was beginning to unfold and the Mapol of Haman was already in motion. So she understood that it was the divine power here that was interceding on behalf of Klal Yisrael, and therefore Ahasuerus would be powerless to perpetrate more evil against Yisrael. But the Malach came and moved her hand away because she still had a responsibility towards Kvod HaMalchus. And others said, he brings another twist on this. Who's that? Oh, I should see it. Wow. Boketom. That her intention was to look at Haman and call him Tsar V'Oyev L'Melech, but then she realized that Haman really just gave the Eitzah to Ahasuerus to destroy the Jews, and it was really the king himself who accepted this gzeirah. You know, he confirmed it. He writes it, Kevon shahoyel Ahasuerus makom litos bidvareha v'lachshav shikoris lo l'chein bo amalach. So basically the Malach is working within a certain framework. You know, Ahasuerus is going to get pretty upset. Now, you remember that we started discussing the question of why Yosef bestowed extra gifts on his brother Binyamin. Wouldn't that incur the jealousy of the brothers? So he quotes here the Marsha, L'chora, the Gemara's problem is not really a valid problem. Ein dimyon ben Yaakov. It's true that Yaakov Avinu, by choosing his favorite, meaning Yosef, that generated the jealousy amongst the brothers, because they were all equal. They were all brothers, and the father choosing one over the other would be something that would incur jealousy. However, in the case of Yosef, Binyamin was his brother, and they were full brothers, meaning they shared both a father and a mother. The other brothers only had the same paternal brothers. Therefore, that shouldn't have generated any jealousy. It would be absolutely natural for Yosef to have a special close relationship with his brother. So why is the Gemara so upset, objecting Kaviyachol to the fact that Yosef bestows these extra gifts? So the Marsha gives the following explanation. He says, Kevon sheYosef bo l'shachneas es echav she'ein lo b'libo aleihem al shemachru l'mitzrayim. Yosef's whole purpose now at this juncture was to try to calm down the brothers and convince them that he wasn't holding a grudge against them. It was all part of a divine plan. So therefore, he shouldn't have now, at this point, be marbe matonos l'binyamin, because shema yitlu ha'achem es ha'matona, they might misinterpret these gifts to Binyamin and attribute it to a different cause, and that is because Binyamin was the one who was not part of the mechira. And that would indicate that Yosef was still holding a grudge. So that's what the Gemara was bothered by. Yosef is in a sense doing something antithetical to his own purpose. If his goal is that the brothers should not think that they were guilty and that Yosef still harbors enmity against them, then by indicating that, well, Binyamin, you know, he was the one who wasn't part of the Mechira. So that's what the Gemara was asking about. Now, it's not clear exactly what the Gemara's answer is. The Gemara says that this was a whole remez about Mordechai who had come from Binyamin, but we'll get to that in Mirtz Shem in just a few minutes. Now, the Gemara says that L'chora Yaakov was guilty in his favoritism of causing a jealousy, and as a result, Nizgalgal Adov V'yardu Avoseinu L'Mitzrayim. So Mechiras Yosef was a result, what was the cause of Yiridus Yisrael Mitzrayim. So Tosin Masech Shabbos on Daf Yud asked the following question, obvious question. The Gzeir of Golos was way before even the birth of Yosef. It was given at the Brisbane, right, to Avram at the Brisbane of Masorim. It says there, in Parashas Lech, it says, V'yavadum v'inu osom arba me'oshona. So how could the Gemara say that because Yaakov showed favoritism to Yaakov, that to Yosef, that caused the Yerida of Avoseinu Mitzrayim? So the answer is the following. If not for the Maisa with Yosef, then the Gzeir of Bnei Yisrael back at the Brisbane of Asarim would not have been such an intense inui. It would have been one level of inui. V'hoya kol arbame oshanim, the 400 years that were promised to Avram, would be with a inui kal, he calls it, a relatively light inui. But Ha'adofas Yosef, which caused the Mechir of Yosef, that would intensify, you know, upgrade the level of Inui. So that's what the Gemara has in mind. Not the Yerida L'Mitzrayim, but the, you know, to raise the decimal level of the Inui. The Marsha offers an answer to this Kash of Tosfos, that what the Gemara has in mind is that if not for the Mechir of Yosef, then I'll read it to you. Lulei hamachira lo haisa nigremes yiridasam lemitzrayim al yidei avera ela biderech acheres. In other words, that just 1 second. If not for the machira of Yosef, lulei machira lo haisa nigremes yiridasam lemitzrayim. Al yidei avera, ella al yidei derech acheres. In other words, it was in the divine plan that eventually there would be this golus. But what would cause the golus?
It could have been. It didn't have to be by a rav.
It could have been some other reason
that they ended up going to Mitzrayim.
Right. So that's interesting because this touches on the whole question of Yediyah Bechira. Hashem may know that we'll be punished down the line, but it's our choice.
How much?
Yeah, or what we'll do, or what our misdeeds will be to bring to be worthy of that punishment. Vasvas Eves Kosov, Shalamrot Shachin Hayurido Nigzero Lefnechem. Morning, Moshe, how are you? Shavua Tov. That even though there was already a gzeirah of Yerida L'Mitzrayim before the Mechira of Yosef, back in the Brisbane of Asarim, however, the implementation was done, what came about, through the jealousy of the brothers for Yosef. Im kein, it's very similar to the Marsha. He's saying, in truth, there was a gzera that preceded the Mechiras Yosef, but the implementation of that gzera was a result of Kinas Ha'achim Bios, and that means that Megalgalin Chova Al Yedei Chayav, that the Gilgal, the actual implementation of the Gzera, came about through the fact that Yaakov Avinu gave preferential treatment to Yosef. Hamaral Bir Shekol HaGzera Gamin Kvar Nigzor Adayim Tzricha Siba Chashuva Kedei Shetochol. Again, all these approaches are very, very similar. Maybe subtle differences between them. In other words, there's an abstract zero, but you need a catalyst, sort of like the last press of the button to bring it about.
Yosef,
There's this general gzera, but you need a very powerful reason or cause to bring it about. L'chein amrush im lo haya davar zeh sheshina ben habanim, that he made it, he gave favoritism. If it wasn't such a chomer thing, lo haya zeh siba l'davar gadol k'mo yitzias yiridas mitzrayim ki davar katan einu nasa siba l'davar gadol. Now, I don't understand one thing. Honestly, you know, I'm a big fan of the Yalkut Biurim, but the way I was taught, and maybe, gentlemen, you're familiar with this, the original Gzeirah that was given to Avraham Avinu to Bris Mila and so on was only 400 years.
400 years.
But the Pasuk says they were 430 years in Mitzrayim, and the Medrash says that the extra 30 years was because of Achiras Yosef. So I'm wondering why this doesn't appear here on the list of answers here.
Wow.
In fact, you know that the Bnei Ephraim left 30 years early? Do you know that whole story?
Those were the dry bones of Yechezkel and Dovid.
And the Chazal say that the reason why Bnei Ephraim thought that they could leave 30 years early is because since they weren't part of Machiris Yosef, they were the children of Yosef, they weren't guilty, and therefore they didn't deserve the extra 30 years. So I don't understand why that chunk is missing over here. But I'm just pointing it out, because if you would ask Azari Bersford what the answer to this question is, that Machiris Yosef is what added the extra 30 years. Okay, but in any event.
Now, they're talking about triggering the whole thing.
Right, yes, he's attributing the whole thing.
So the extra 30 years, that's extra. But this is, right. The actual trigger is due to the...
Right. Okay. Now we get back to the Gemara's answer. The Gemara says that the reason why Yosef bestowed so many gifts, you know, five times the begotten on his brother Binyamin, is only a symbolic representation of the fact that Mordechai, the descendant of Binyamin, is going to wear the five different malbushim. So the Gemara is not happy with this. Maho il tirat zesh, Yosef is kavod lirmos al Mordechai, dan yesh lak shoshi kanu boecha. You know, it's very nice that there's a symbolic message here that foretells the future down the line of Mordechai. But at the end of the day, the brothers are watching Yosef bestow extra gifts, right? 500% of the gifts on Binyamin. And that's gonna engender a kinah. So how does the Gemara solve its problem? That's what the Gaon is bar. Adayin yesh lachsho sheikanu bo echov al kach shekibo matona gedola mehem. That Binyamin got this great gift.
How can they, I just want to throw a question. How can they, you're talking, you know, kinah is an emotion. So how can he have an emotion of kinah on his brothers? Like, on the brothers have kinah on Binyamin when, like, they're maleh busha. Like, what does it matter now? You're just, you know, anyways. But okay, the question still stands.
Vitirates. So now the God is going to try to give an explanation of the Shaka Vitaria of the Gemara. Bahava Mina Mina Gemara Shiosim Nosal Binyamin Chameshas Chalifos Shekol. Again, I'm very skeptical, but I'm giving you over the Vilna Gaon. So maybe you'll convince me that he's right, so to speak. I'm very skeptical. I'm a disbeliever here at this point. He says the following, that the Gemara and the Havmina thought that each one of the five chalifos that Binyamin received from his brother Yosef was worth the same value on the market as one chalifa that each of the brothers received.
Oh.
Shimlokin elakulam shavas kechalucha chalifa achas. He says, if all five begadim were worth the same value as one beged, you know, what company is really fancy in suits? You know, like the $1,000 suits.
Oh,
you have to go to Rodeo Drive and figure out.
No. Expensive suits. What's an expensive suit?
Books Brothers isn't bad. Armani.
How do you pronounce it?
Armani. So the 11 brothers got. Ten brothers got.
Each one got an Armani.
Armani, and
he got a Brooks Brothers. He got five Brooks Brothers as worth one Armani.
Okay. I would say a Macy's suit, maybe, you know.
So he says the following.
Inside Sims.
Inside Sims.
Right.
you know, shot off everyone, shot us free on everybody. Just right. That just makes it clear.
So he says the following: that in the Hava Bina, the Gemara, if Kuram Shavos Kechalifa Achas, if all the five that Binyamin got total, sum total up to one Armani that the brothers got, is Madua Asazos. Why would he have done such a thing? Like, that doesn't make any sense. You know, to give five cheaper suits to Binyamin that are worth one expensive suit. Mm-hmm. So therefore, the Gemara came to the conclusion that each suit that Binyamin got was an Armani, was worth one of the suits of the father. Ulam b'maskana. The Gemara's answer is Sheremez Ramazlo. This whole thing was just a symbolic representation of Mordechai, foretelling Mordechai. Is Hayel Yosef Inyan Lases Lo Chamisha Chalifos? Yosef didn't want to show any favoritism because that would be repeating the crime of his father. But rather, he just wanted to make sure that Yosef would that Binyamin would receive five Chalifos and just get the symbolic. I'll get back to the concept of symbolic in just a second, but get the message across. Therefore, the Gemara says in the Maskana, Chamisha Chalifos shall Binyamin, Shel Binyamin Kimel. I'm just adding those words. Hayushavos kechalifa achas shel ha'achim. Okay, why? Because again, he's not trying to show any favoritism, and I guess, you know, five cheaper suits are just as good as one Armani. Yeah, you know, it's a little strange to me because who's selling the suits on the market? You know.
Yeah, it's a.
You know, Mimarashav. Either you want more suits in your wardrobe, or you want one good expensive suit. You know, I don't know exactly, but let's assume that, you know, it's all equal. But the message is here. Now I just want to add one thing here. Lufiani's daiti. This concept of a symbolic message, you know, foretelling the coming of Mordechai on the face of the on the scene of the world, and he's going to get five chalifos. I think it's more than just symbolism. Did you ever hear the phrase of poel davar with regard to nevuah? Does that mean anything to you? Let me just give it to you: the tip of the iceberg. A navi, when he receives a nevuah letova, he does what's called a poel. A poel means he does a physical action, and that clinches the nevuah that it'll definitely come about. So it could be that somewhere in his Ruach HaKodesh, Yosef had a nevuah of sorts that Binyamin would be the father, the ancestor of Mordechai, and Mordechai would be zochet to be the Mishnah Lamel. But Yosef felt he had to do a poel Yosef, he had to do some sort of action to clinch the nevuah. Mm-hmm. The one who writes about this in great length is the. Did you ever hear of a book called the Drushas HaRan? Mm-hmm. You know, the Ran Rabbeinu right. Nisim on the Rif wrote Drushas. It's a very profound work, you know. I don't know, for some reason in the yeshiva world it fell out of use, the Drushas HaRan. But there are a lot of very important philosophical ideas. One of them is this idea, which he proves throughout Tanakh, that the Nevi'im always act out their Nevuah, and that's...
We say that by the Avos, they did things that were...
Right, Maisova Simulabonim, a lot of that has to do with this Drushas HaRan.
They did things for us, they suffered for us, they did things for us.
Oh, that's something else.
Do something different?
Yeah, that's something a little bit different. No, we're talking about a Nevuah Letova, specifically Nevuah Letova. Mm-hmm. Well, so look, we're on Tezayin Amud Beis.
If this is the case, then, I mean, he's also descended from Yehuda.
Correct. I think that's going to come up here. I know I saw that somewhere, but whether it's the Gemara or the Mefarshim, I don't know.
Okay,
so we're up to Amarav Binyamin Bar Yefes. Let's just see, what line is that? It's very close to the top here. There's line 5, am I right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Amarav Binyamin Bar Yefes, which I find very interesting, the name Yefes, but okay. Remez Ramazlo She'osid Ben Lotzeis Mimenu She'yetze Milifnei HaMelech B'chamisha Levushei Malchus She'nemar Mordechai Yotza Milifnei HaMelech B'levush Malchus Tcheles V'chur V'ateres Ahav G'dolah V'tafrit Butz V'yargamon. So Mordechai goes out with five different begodim, and he's going to be the Mishnah HaMelech. And it's interesting because the Sifsei Chachamim, that's a super commentary on the Agadah, he writes that that Mordechai is sort of like a repeat performance of Yosef, in a sense. As Yosef in his personal life became the Mishnah Lamelech of Mitzrayim, and by playing that very unique role, he was able to organize and engineer that the people of Israel, the Bnei Jacob, would come down and they would get Goshen, and they would, you know, they'd be protected from the Mitzrayim. And now Mordechai, who's again not from the Zaros Shel Yosef, but the Zaros Shel Binyamin, he also is going to play this role, appointed as it were as Mishnah Lamelech of Paras Umadai of Achashverosh, and he's going to be Moshiach Shel Yisrael. But in any event, this is the Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yofes, is the explanation as to why Yosef was not inhibited about giving these extra gifts to his brother Binyamin, even though ostensibly it could have created jealousy. And the answer is, it's not going to create jealousy if it's a message foretelling of Mordechai.
Didn't he give more money, more silver to Binyamin as well?
Yeah, that's also coming up. Everything you're asking is coming up, but down the line. Yeah.
Okay.
But first, now it's very interesting. Our Gemara, up until now, was an agadah about Mordechai and Esther and Haman and Achashverosh and Purim. At this point, the Gemara goes off on a lurch, goes off on a branch over here. And once we've mentioned the episode of Yosef and his reconciliation with his brothers, we're going to now darshan all sorts of psukim and all sorts of agadata about that reconciliation, that encounter, that reuniting of Yosef with his brothers. So the pasuk says the following: Vayipol al tzavarei Binyamin achiv. I'll read the whole pasuk to you. Vayevk u Binyamin bocha al tzavarov. Now, this is very strange. The pasuk mentions tzavarei Binyamin. Now, the last time I checked, a person could have only one neck. So what's the plural of two necks? Kama tzavarav havi leivu Binyamin. You know, the Gemara is asking almost a rhetorical question. I mean, how many necks does Binyamin have that it should say vayipol al tzavarei Binyamin? Why the Lashon Rabin? Omer Rabbi Lazar, that the word tzavar has two meanings. On a literal level, it translates as a neck. But on a symbolic meaning, it's a symbol of the Beis HaMikdash. And we're going to have a long discussion here as to why the tzavar, the neck of all parts of the body, is symbolic of the Beis HaMikdash. And why is Yosef crying? He's crying on the Batei Mikdashos. Why the plural? Al shnei boch al shnei mikdashim sha'asidim lios bechelkom shel binyamin va'asidim lecharev. And they'll both be destroyed. Now again, this whole business about chelkos shel binyamin, you have to learn sugyos in Tzvachim. It's not so poshut. The part of the mikdash was on the chelik of binyamin, part was on the chelik of Yehuda.
And Zbeach was only on Binyamin. They have Binyamin. To a little corner.
Oh, so I see you learned Tzvachim. So you know, you may also remember another sugya Tzvach, which I thought of when I learned this Agadita. The Gemara has a whole discussion about David HaMelech and Shlomo, how they knew exactly where the Mikdash should be built. And the Gemara actually says that there was a Havamina and a Maskana. The Havamina, they thought, since the Pasuk says, V'kamta v'alisa, El Amokom Asher Yivchar Hashem, Malad Shugvor Mikol Amokom, the Havamina of David and Shlomo was to locate the Beis HaMikdash on the highest point in the Chelek of Binyamin. In other words, they knew it was in the Nachal of Binyamin, but they thought it has to be on the highest point. And the Gemara actually identifies the name of a place, Ein something or other, I forget the name of it, in Tzvachim, and that was the highest point in Shevet Binyamin. And that's where they wanted to locate the Mikdash. But at the end, the Gemara says it, the Pasuk says in the Bracha to Binyamin, it says, Bein Kseifav Yalin, between his shoulders. The Gemara said, between his shoulders means it's lower than the top.
Lower than that.
So they had to lower it. So they decided to on the Har HaMoriah. But you know, who would ever think that there was a Havamina that the Mikdash wouldn't be on the Har HaMoriah? But the definite assumption is that it's in the Nachla of Binyamin. And now two Batei Mikdashos are destroyed in the Nachla of Binyamin.
Between the shoulders, that's... The neck is between the shoulders.
Right. The neck is between the shoulders. And there are two necks, one for the first Mikdash and the second for the second Beis HaMikdash. Now, there's something here a little bit confusing, because the end of the pasuk says, "Vayevk uvinyamin bacha al tzavarav." Now, tzavarav is written with a yud, you know, at the end, right? And that's also in the plural. And that doesn't make sense, because take a look at the next Gemara. The Gemara says, "Binyamin bachal tzavarav, bachal mishkan shilo, sha'asid lios bechelko shel Yosef, vi'asid licharev." So look, one thing I can promise you, that Shilo had a din of a migdash. So it makes sense that the word tzavar, which is a symbolic word for the Beis HaMikdash, would apply to Shilo. That doesn't bother me. But what bothers me is the use of the plural over here, because...
Here it's not,
you know, here it's not plural. We're only referring to one Beis HaMikdash, in this case, Shilo. So why does it say, Loshen Rabim, it says, Al Tzavarov? Very strange.
So was Shilo actually destroyed? Do we know that Shilo was actually destroyed?
I think so. I don't know. Maybe it was something else that I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, wasn't it attacked?
There was a Shita that it wasn't totally...
Do you know how long Shilo stood, by the way?
369.
Wow, that's a long period of time. It's almost as long as the Beis HaMikdash. And the Chuba took place at the time of Eli. That's a Gemara at the end of Zvachu. He says the following... Hamaritz Chayos Toma. He asks the following question: Ma hoyelo livkos al mishkan shilo shechorev hare al piat Torah hoyelo lichorev. What does that mean? Al piat Torah hoyelo lichorev. Kol kulo nivne. It was only a temporary Beis HaMikdash. Ad sheibone Mikdash b'Yerushalayim. V'achakach. I'm not sure what the next word is here. In any event, it was part of the original plan. Oh, the Gemara says in Yuma, "Mipnei ma chorva shilo, mashma shahoy ezel chet." Right, that's the whole chet about Eli. Remember the Bnei Eli and all that stuff. "Vlohay tzarich lios kach hakavana hi lechurbana ir shilo v'lo lechurbana mishkan." So the Maratzchios l'shitasa holds that there's a difference between the actual mishkan of Shilo and the city, which is called Shilo. And all the destruction that we talk about in Chazal and the sin that caused that destruction is not a reference to the Mishkan of Shilo, but rather to the city of Shilo. Now, it's a bit of a stretch to assume that when it says here, Vayevk al Tzavarov, Bacha al what? Al Ir Shilo? It says, in my Gemara, it says al Mishkan Shilo. So he leaves it as an open-ended question.
But wasn't the Aron taken? I mean, isn't that something to... Isn't that kind of the heart of the Mishkan?
It was returned.
So isn't, but if it was taken, isn't that something to... Isn't that a tragedy?
And that itself should be...
That kind of is... if that's taken, then the Mishkan is destroyed. I mean, you could say it's...
Maybe that itself
was, even if it was intended...
It's a halachic destruction.
Yeah.
He also quotes another Gemara in Zvachim that says that Shilo was Bechelko Shel Yosef, and he says that Yosef is always praised because of his eyes. What do I mean? It says that Eino Shel Yosef was a special shmira, you know, he had a special control over his eyes. That's why he was able to, I guess, experience all of Erev HaSaharetz of Mitzrayim. And therefore, Shilo has a relationship to the eyes. What's the relationship to the eyes? There's a halacha that kol makom sher nira. Did we discuss that?
Yeah, we did. That was
We had it.
You can see it. You can eat mitzvah shein, and kosher kalin, and so forth and so on. So that's interesting. Now, as far as this word savarov is concerned, just one second. Yeah. Oh, by the way, you mentioned before, Eric, exactly what was in the chelik of Yosef and what was in the chelik... I'm sorry, what was in the chelik of Yama, what was in the chelik of Yehuda. So he quotes a sugya later on, which we're going to get to in Megillah, hopefully. Machlokas Tanoim, where the Yerushalayim is chalka l'shvatim. Ulamad Yomen is chalka l'shvatim. He tells you that the chelik of Yehuda was the Harabayis, the Lishkos and the Azoros, and the Chelik of Binyamin was the Ulam, the Heichal, and the Beis Kodesh Kadoshim. So I assume the Ula means the Mizbeach Achitzon, I'm assuming. And then it says, Ritzua Haisa Yotzitz Michalko Sheh, it's a whole long sugya. Ritzua Haisa Yotzitz Michalko Sheh Yudim and Nichneses, Michalko Sheh Binyamin Valel Hayu a Mizbeach Banui. Okay, so we have to know, and this is a complicated sugya. Well, let me just think if I can, one second. Oh, so let's see. Beis HaMikdash Nikra Tzavar. Where do we see, what's the source of our Gemara that Beis HaMikdash is called a Tzavor? He says, Kmo Shenemar, it says in Shir HaShirim, Kimigdal David Tzavarech. And then it says, Tzavarech Kimigdal Hashem. All these are references to the Beis HaMikdash. So really, the original source for identifying the Tzavor as the Beis HaMikdash is not here in the end of Sefer Bereishis, but it's in the Shir HaShirim. Now, Vatamshin Nikra came. Why is the Beis HaMikdash called a Tzavar? He says the following. HaTzavar nimtza begova shel Adam. It's on the higher point of the human body. V'kein Beis HaMikdash nimtza begova Eretz Yisrael. And it's considered like the hod, the beauty of Klal Yisrael. So I'll tell you the truth. Once again, you know, with all Mechila, because I'm a gigantic fan of the Masifta, but I was always taught something else, that the reason why the Tzavar is symbolically the Beis HaMikdash is because there are two worlds. There are the higher worlds and the lower worlds. And the connection between the two is the Beis HaMikdash. You remember when Yaakov goes to sleep in Parshas Vayetze, he has this dream, and there are malachim that are all in the yard in Bo. And Chazal say that Ein Zekim Beis Elokim, that that was the Makom HaMikdash. And if that was the Makom HaMikdash, then the malachim going up and down represent a direct correspondence between the Elyonim and the Taftonim. And in the human body, there's the upper part of the body, which is the head with the brain and so forth, and then there's the lower part of the body, and the Tzavar connects the two. That's the way I was always taught, but for some reason, he doesn't mention this.
It's a local call.
Was somebody calling?
No, I was saying there's an old joke about praying to Hashem in Yerushalayim versus, you know.
Oh, right.
It's a local call.
Local call. Right. It's not long distance.
No. Nowadays, it doesn't matter. It's unlimited anyway, so, you know. But, well, I mean, there's no conflict between the two explanations, though. I mean,
I'm just saying. To me, that was always like the straight way that I was always taught as a child. Hakamar bira madua Yosef hadifes binyamin al shara ha'achim v'matnas habegadim ulam Yosef nasan lebinyanim gam shlosh meos kesef mashalo nasan liyachim klal. Your question, Eric. Val zag mar lo shal v'lo esbayer she sherima is lo bazedova kosev arasha. She Yosef Yochel Lahad if it's Binyamin, Velo Yigrom Hadova Lakina, Kaven Shu Achiv Lorak Mi Oviv El Af Mina Aim. They were full brothers. Velo Chen Shara Achim, they were only paternal brothers. Elo Shekasher Nosel Binyamin Khalifos, Shezum Atona Gluya Vinikaris Lay Kol, Yachshavu Ha'achim, they would come to the mistaken conclusion that Yosef was still holding a grudge. I don't know, gentlemen, if you were here when we discussed this. Anyway, let me just move on because I don't know. Lakachnitz tarachnu lomar sherima zlo bazeh. Oh, so that was a remnant. Mashenke nesinas kesef he dovashe vitzino ve'ena nikeres la'omdim soviv sheyuchlo lachsho shebinyomim bilvad kibil mishum sin oso li'ochkev he'vinu achim shezeh beglal kirvaso elav yoser me'alehem v'lo kinubo. So basically, Marsha's thesis is that if you do something public that everyone could see, then you're opening up yourself to a possible misinterpretation, in this case, that Yosef is still harboring his resentment against the brothers. But in the case of something that remains private, that the brothers could live with, they could tolerate that, and attribute it to the fact that Yosef, that Binyamin and Yosef are full brothers. So there's a lot more here.
So the brothers didn't know that they gave.
No. He said
he did it privately.
That
he could, because they made,
you know,
they would
that,
know, but it wasn't
that a private gift is something that you can justify. You can explain. You know, I give you a private gift. because you're my brother, and you're more my brother than the other brothers, right? And that they could live with, but once it became public, you know, that every day or every week, you know, Binyamin shows up with a different suit and shul. You know, hey, wow, this guy's got another suit, another new suit.
They're walking around with Armani's. They're not looking at
you. Yeah. But so why is Yosef doing this? You know, to allow Binyamin to publicly, you know, boast and show off his flashy new suit. Apparently, he still really holds a begrudge. And there's a lot of deep psychology here. But
and the 300 is connected to shloshim for each eved.
Shloshim shalevet times 10. Excellent.
Right. So wow. That's what that's
right. You're making the kasha worse. I'm trying to answer the question.
Yeah.
All right. So this pasuk, Einechem ro'os, is a reference also to Binyamin. So why does he mention Binyamin separately? He says Einechem ro'os. If he would have stopped there, quit while you're ahead, that would have indicated Binyamin as well. And yet he goes out of his way to mention Einei Achi Binyamin, and he singles out Binyamin. And in general, we could ask a more general question. What is Kipi Hamidaber Aleichem? Well, what does that mean? Key. The key here at the end of this pasuk, since because, you know, once I've already established Einechem ro'os, now you understand Pi Hamidaber Aleichem. What's the connection between Einechem ro'os and Pi Hamidaber Aleichem? Omer Rav Elazar. Yosef wanted to make it clear to his brothers that he's not holding any grudge against them, that he was mochel and so forth and so forth. That's why he's going to mention Binyamin separately. Amalem, kishem, this is a hekish. Just like ein b'li b'yal Binyamin achi, shalom hayo mimuchi rasi, so too, I have no tina, I have no hatred, aleichem. Oh, but now you'll ask, maybe I'm only saying this on the external end, but that's not really what I feel inside. I know a lot of people say things, but they don't really genuinely mean it sincerely. So he says, ki pi hamadabra aleichem. The word ki here is not what we call the sinas tam. You know, usually ki means and therefore. No. We read it a little bit different. We read it ki pi, meaning kishem shani omer lachem bifi. Just like I'm telling you on the external expression, and I enunciate that I'm not holding any grudge against you. Ken li bi, so too in my heart, I don't hold any grudge. So the word pi over here means kifi, not ki pi, but kifi. We're combining these two words, kifi. So it's just like in my lave I have no, just like in my lave I have no resentment, so too in my. Now, when Yosef, after the reconciliation with his brothers, he sends them back to Eretz Canaan, to Yaakov. He sends gifts to his father Yaakov. Ulaviv shalach hazos, asarach hamorim, nosim mituv Mitzrayim. So the one wants to know, my mituv Mitzrayim, omra binyamin dar yefes, omra blozo, shalach lo yayin yoshon, Shedas Zakenim Nocha Hemenim. Now again, there are two ways of learning this Gemara. One is to take it literally, that the older people appreciate old wine. Another way of taking it is more symbolically, that Yayin Yoshan is one of the rare, if maybe even the singular food that gets better with time. Yayin improves with time. You know, we all want vintage wine, right? So he says that so too, when it comes to chachma, when it comes to wisdom, wisdom improves and becomes more profound, it broadens with the amount of time. So this kainim, the older people, you know, you might think, well, you know, they're not sharp anymore. They don't have the sharpness of youth, but nevertheless, they have the wisdom of maturity. So as they get older, they become more. More brilliant, if you will, more experienced. He has here one interpretation that you should take this Gemara literally and take it physically, and wine warms up the body. It increases the body temperature. He says that an old person suffers more from coldness of the body, we see this throughout Tanakh, and therefore Yosef sends his father Yayin Yoshan, which will warm up the body.
Although it's actually dangerous because it doesn't actually warm up the body, it just feels like you're warmer.
Maybe that's good.
A lot of drunk people die from exposure because of that.
Okay. Now, again, quoting some sofer here from the Yalkut HaBiurim, he says the following. First of all, we spoke about the strange phenomenon that the word Savarov at the end of that pasuk is in plural, and yet it's only a reference to Mishkan Shiloh. Nidrash Savari Binyamin al Bati Mikdoshos, Vachain Savarov the Yosef who Mishkan Shiloh Shahi Vachalko Shal Yosef. Okay, Beis HaMikdash Nikra Tzavar. Okay, quotes the Psukim in Shir Shirim. And the Tzavar is Begova Shal Adam. You remember we discussed this. Oh, now here he quotes the Tzavar so far. I thought this might be similar to what I was trying to push for. He says the following. Tafkido Shal Tzavar. What's the purpose, the function of the neck? L'kasher ben harosh la'lev u'l'shar evar yaguf. So it means the brain and what's the word in English? The system of
the nervous system, or the
what's it called?
The nervous system. Which,
no,
the circulatory system. Circulation. I mean.
No. What's the word I'm looking for? Oh, bothers me. It's the system that sends messages from the brain.
The nervous system.
Yeah, but there's another word. Okay, fine. We'll call it the nervous system.
Okay.
He says, Shehu ma'avir.
The doctor here. He knows everything.
May amalach lo
le. Yeah.
But there's another word for it. Okay. So it doesn't matter. He says the following.
Sensories.
That the Beis HaMikdash is the Shar HaShamayim. Vehu mamtzi shefa me'agosh. Avinu Shabashamayim, Libnei Yisrael. Okay, so the word I'm looking for, by the way, starts with a C.
Communication system.
Yeah.
It communicates from the brain to. Yeah.
What word am I looking for?
No. Okay. Cerebral.
Cerebral. No, that's you're close.
In the brain.
Like that's the
look it up if you can. Today we have so many. Yeah.
Everyone's got an encyclopedia in their back
right,
pocket.
Right. That's it.
Exactly.
Shasim Poskim too.
Right. Okay. Sholach lo yayin yoshin shadas kainim nokim. Chazal yivinu she Yosef shalach li Yaakov yayin mikivan she ba pasuk lo is pareish mao hatov she sholach. So why did the Torah tell us what this good thing was? Apparently it wasn't good for everyone, not objectively, but for Yaakov it was good. Okay, you can argue that, but he says liyakov vayachoshu mishum shadas kainim noche imenu. Umasha amru shadas kainim noche imenu. Hu mipneishu tov lamei ayin. Now that's interesting. Because I'm a person who can testify, I suffered a lot from my me'ayin. You know, Shari Tzedek Hospital could also testify to that fact. And after I got out of the hospital, we went to a Chinese doctor. So he told me to drink dry wine, and specifically white dry wine. Beinenu, I'm going to shut that off for a second. I hate dry wine. Which is really a problem for me when I make Kiddush. But my good old Chinese doctor. So he said that the dry white wine is good for my... It's good for my digestion. So I don't know if it was white wine, I don't know if it was dry wine.
Did it help?
He says... Kamo Omar, and he proves this from a Gemara in the Dorim. The Gemara says, Konom Yayin Shani Toem. If he takes upon himself a neder that he won't drink wine, and then he says, Shayayin Ra Lameayim, because the wine will be detrimental to my digestive system. Amru Lo Valo Yafal Lameayim. If it's Yashan, the Gemara says it's Yafal Lameayim. So that creates a kasha on his neder. So you have to know exactly the laws of Nidorim in such a case. He writes that Rov Haskenim B'Tiv'om Heim Chole Me'ayim. That's not a very positive prognosis for old age. L'kach Das Kenim Nochem. So wine is good for the digestive system, and typically older people suffer from problems in the digestive system. Oh, that's what we mentioned earlier. That's what we said before. Yushan who garua gets worse with the passage of time. Ulam hayayin kichol shemisyashen nasa b'shubach yoser v'derech ha'olam uzalzel b'zkenim v'lomar. People are cynical. Daitom mitupeshes mikol machmas kenusov and ein adover nochon. Kvar omul chazal ziknei Torah kol zman shemaskinim daitom misyasheves aleh. The older they get, the more their understanding becomes complete. You know, the different strings and different pieces of the puzzle all of a sudden fit into place. L'kach das kenem nocha miayin yoshev neshu raya avur. There's like a physical proof to the fact that there are certain things that don't lose their taste with old age. They, on the contrary, they get better, they improve with old age, and that's true for zikna and chachma as well.
By the way, the only thing I came up with to see was central nervous system.
Oh, okay. So, all right.
Not much different.
What else? So we still don't have a clear answer to the word Savarov, you know, in the case of Mishkan Shiloh. I owe you that. I know I saw it, but I can't find it now. By the way, you know, we talk about Yosef as being so great, and there are many different elements of Yosef's greatness, but I'm not trying to be to prejudice you, but in my mind, in my heart, the thing that makes Binyamin greater than anyone is the fact that he could possibly forgive his brothers. I mean, mamish forgive his brothers, not, you know, menasaf lechutz, like this Gemara that we're learning now. I mean, could you imagine, just shtel so far, as we say in English, like close your eyes and imagine that you're crying in front of your brothers not to do this, and they, with all cruelty, they throw you down, and then you could be mocha them. I mean, that's, you know, we talk about family feuds, which is a very tragic dimension of human existence. You know, bad enough when one family feuds with another family, but within a family, and that's the worst. And you know, if I would talk about Das Kenim, I'm not at liberty to reveal all of my life's experience about family feuds, but it's horrible, and people hold grudges, and it's very hard to overcome that. You know, Yosef, in that sense, is a paradigm beyond, in my mind, beyond human comprehension of what a person has to strive for. You know, the Mepharshim say it's like one, you know, if you take revenge, it's like one hand hitting the other hand. You know what I'm talking about? That basically it's all in part of a divine plan, so any wrong that was perpetrated against you is all part of the divine plan. But that doesn't justify the person who did it for you. So you still walk around with that hatred, with that resentment. And that's a pell about Yosef. Okay, how are we doing? We have two more minutes. We'll finish up. So now, Vayelchu gam echav vayiplu lefonav. Omer binyam bar Yosef amar blazar. What does it mean that the brothers threw themselves in front of Yosef and they prostrated, they bowed down to him? After all, they have l'chora the same chashivas as him. I mean, that's going to be a whole issue here. Hainu diamri inshi talib ibn sagile. In other words, when a person has got a position of leadership, then you have to bow down to him. And the mushal here is Tala. Tala is a fox. A fox is not considered the king of all animals, but nevertheless, when it has a hatzlocha, then even the aryeh, even the king of animals, will bow down to the fox. And what it means is that there's something called shah misacheches liodom, that there's a moment in time in which a person reaches this situation of Shabbos Achekislo, that he's on top of the world, so to speak. And even though he doesn't necessarily deserve the kind of respect and bowing down to that he really is, he's not really that, but nevertheless, we have to, in a sense, subjugate ourselves and therefore Kofik Lefanim. He says the same thing applies here, that the Achi Yosef, even though they're on the same level as Yosef, which is going to be the next sugya, is that really so? But nevertheless, for that moment, Yosef has the, he has the Shah Besachekeslo. He's now the viceroy of Egypt, and therefore they bow down to him. And the next Gemara is gonna throw a monkey wrench. What are you talking about? Yosef is so superior to... I'm sorry. They are equal to Yosef. Isn't it true that Yosef was superior to them at that point in time? It wasn't just a matter of his position of authority. So let me take this opportunity to wish everyone a great day. And Mr. Hashem, we'll continue this tomorrow. I'm just going to make a note of where we got off to.
Don't forget your phone. You left it on the chair.
Yes. Thank you so much. And Moshe, thanks again for the...
The cups and the water and the...